When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Job is broken an instant. Come on the wall.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show. SmackDown.
It's the 2nd of May, in the year of our Lord, 2002.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour golf. That one's lasted far longer than I thought it would.
Thank you, Shivani.
Thank you.
Oasis, The Hindu Times is the number one single in the UK. You're my sunshine.
Sunshine!
You're my rain. As made famous by Soccer AM, about 6 years after that. About a Boy is the number one film in the UK box office.
You know what it's about?
It's a comedy drama film directed by Paul Weitz and Chris Weitz. It's an adaptation of the novel. The film stars Hugh Grant, Nicholas Holt as a kid. He's a big lad now. He's a big kid.
Young Nick Holt.
Yeah, it says here, the film at times uses double voiceover narration when the audience hears Will and Marcus's thoughts. That's just voiceover, isn't it?
Yeah.
Double voiceover.
Yeah, it's very cleverly woven into the movie.
They're not saying it once.
No, they don't talk. They're not the same people like talking over each other. Where they're singing over, I am warning you, Javert. I am a stronger man by far. Yeah, right. Bit of lame. It's a bit of culture. You're welcome.
He's only little, though. President number 4321.
You will be locked up like a slave again.
Yeah. For stealing a loaf of bread.
I was born inside a jail.
Yeah, never seen it. Heard good things about it. Whatever. Have you seen it?
Yeah, but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, let's move on. And Blues, All Rise. Their debut studio album is the one album. All new things this week. I like the song All Rise. The rest can fuck off.
It's very harsh, the rest of Blues' back catalogue.
Don't be blue, Peter.
Hey, did I tell you I took a piss next to Duncan from Blue?
Were you in a toilet at the time?
I was thankfully in a toilet.
Oh, thank God for that.
It was a charity event, and Blue with a turn, and I went to the loo, and a guy came in, and I went, hello, and I went, oh, that's Duncan from Blue. And I just came out and went, took a piss next to Duncan from Blue. That's my story.
That's good,
it's not a good story, but it's a story.
I think it's Cyrus the Virus was that thing where him and someone else, I can't remember who the people are. Forget the rest. Anyway, the point is, they saw Sean Connery, and went, bloody hell, Sean Connery. And he went to the toilet, and him and his mates followed, and they stood either side of him in the urinal, neither of them pissing. And Sean, who's had the situation happen before, said something like, what do you pussies want? Zipped up and left with him and whoever it is just stood by the urinal going, I'm not moving.
If you would follow Sean Connery to the toilet, what do you expect to happen?
Yeah, right.
Your Honour.
Speaking of Blue, the Queen Mum is still dead. Card subject to change.
She's surely still not blue. Surely she's gone grey at this point.
Well, you know.
Bloated.
All the booze in the system. The big news this week, though, the 900 workers at ITV Digital's Pensbrook call centre are told they are likely to be made redundant as the firm's troubles continue. And then, the day before the SmackDown, ITV Digital's pay TV operations cease at 7 a.m. after admins decided to close the company, having failed to find a buyer for it. The ITV Sports channel is redesignated as a free-to-air channel, enabling viewers to watch the final matches of the football season. The Independent Television Commission launches a fast-track process to find a replacement provider for digital terrestrial TV in the UK. The ITV Sports channel closes following the expiry of the Football League rights. All of the sports show will be aired on ITV2 instead. And I didn't realise that this had other effects other than they attempt at doing another network, a rival football thing,
yeah,
was the fact that the likes of Bradbury City, Burberry, Nottingham Forest, Burberry, did I say Bury?
Bury.
Watford, Barnsley, Lincoln City and Port Vale filed for admin, fearful that the drastic loss of revenue will put them out of business.
Mm.
So this affected everybody.
Yeah, well, because small clubs are expecting it. So many put money into or put stock into the channel doing well that it meant that they lost loads of money coming in. They lost a major income stream. So therefore, they built a lot of their business around this income stream that suddenly disappeared.
Yeah.
Grim. Too much money in football. At least top flight football, not lower end football.
Yeah. The big game this week is Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. See the one before Oblivion, but never played it.
We'll get into Oblivion, which is probably the stronger one.
Yes, the most jankiest. And Eric wakes in a foul mood on the morning of his wedding after spending the night on the sofa.
Oh.
As wedding bells begin to chime, he and Gloria are not on speaking terms. The frosty atmosphere continues at the church as Ashley is concerned that his services may not be needed. Nicola is indignant.
There you go. You got there.
Ashley, I'm an Eskimo.
As Rodney demands an explanation for attempts to sue... I'm fucking this. Who cares?
Emmerdale. No, keep going. Keep going.
Indignant. Yeah, whatever. Severing all ties, she insists that she has bills to pay. Struck by her callousness, Rodney is left with no choice but defend his case in court.
What did Pete Gass do about it?
Things hot up in the bedroom on Eric's wedding night.
Oh,
but Gloria is nowhere to be seen. Eric takes matters into his own hand, who were Mrs. as he tries a different method to win Glenys's vote.
Takes matters into his own gland.
Time appears to be up for the t-shirt as Angie appears in blue to take a piss next to Tom.
Sorry, we both went to the same punchline.
But blah, 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 SmackDown life, blah, blah, blah. Mafu, Tom, pull the classic SmackDown review. How you doing,
Pat? I'm good, mate. It's funny you talk about wedding night blues and stuff there because I like letting people in on some of the conversations that we have. So when we finished recording, and after I finished work last week, we had a bit of a day of wedding planning and it involved booking the rooms for our wedding. So they kind of allocated us a certain amount of rooms and then we had to sort of divvy up which family members were staying where and all this stuff. And as we got to the end of it, I realised, so Alex went, so what's the crack with us then? Where are we sleeping? I said, well, you're in the bridal room the night before the wedding because I can't see you the night before the wedding. And then I'm with you the day of, the evening of the wedding. I'll be in the same room as you. She said, cool. So where are you staying the night before the wedding? I was like, oh, shit, I hadn't thought of that, which is why then I messaged you knowing that we've booked you in a double room and gone, I'm going to sleep in one of the beds in the double room that you've got. So my last night as an unmarried man will be spent with Matthew.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's right. Tom, can you budge over this chap I met from Wembley?
Which one?
Would you believe it? He's in the area.
Which one?
Oh, number 15, they called him.
Oh, you met him early on, didn't you? Yeah. Before your mouth got sore. It's all right. I'm coming this year to help you.
Extend it like a snake. That'd be grand. Yeah, Tom, I'm sure I can make room for you, I guess.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
On the day before your wedding. It's so great as well because I was there going... Because I'm in two group chats. My mate, he was going to Amsterdam for a stag doing yours. We're going to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And it's all blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, just whatever. I'll just tag along. Yeah. I can't be coping. My head's blagged. But then I'm there like... Well, that's the do. And then Tom's asked me about the day before the wedding. I'm like, what bastard do is that? And I actually don't know. And then would you believe it? My ex-flatmate said, oh, Matthew, someone sent this Harry Potter-esque looking card over here. I went, who the fuck could that be? So then I went up the town and I opened it in front of him. I was like, whatever, to see what it is, because he was curious. It was just like, oh, it's Tom's Wendy. Thank Christ.
I did wonder if that got the wrong address.
I'm like, wait, how long has this been there? Oh, right, okay. Oh, yeah, November. Oh, that's fine. That's bloody months away.
It's all right, mate. It's not till November. It's all fine. Don't give the exact date or location because I don't want the paparazzi turning up.
Yeah.
Or any of my ex-wives or my current wives. That'd be really awkward. But otherwise, we're all good this week. Thank you. Do you have any gossip to share with you this week? Yeah, was going to go out for a quiet afternoon midday drink for St. Paddy's Day with the guys from BBC Radio Newcastle.
Ooh.
Met at 2. Promised Pablo we'd be back for about 6. I got in at 11:30.
Oh. Fuming.
He was fucking livid, mate. But you know what?
When you open the door, was the cat there with his arms folded?
He just he gives this big long meow when we've been out too long.
Look like Taz.
Where have you been? No notes. No car's gone. You could have died. Is basically what he says as we walk in. But for those who are worried about the mistreatment of my beloved cat Pablo, I will say on this particular morning, he had tricked us into giving him double breakfast because I'd left early in the morning to go and work about 4 a.m. and I'd fed him. And then as soon as Alex woke up at about 6:30, he was walking around his empty bowl going, I'm sad, I die. So then Alex, who messaged me and I didn't see the message, ended up just feeding him anyway. So he's like, double breakfast.
Cat's a twat.
Twat. So it's like, if he's going, I died. No, you had 2 breakfasts, dickhead. You're not starving. Look at your lovely little pouch. You ain't starving, bless him. But he was fine. It was a lovely time though. We went to Wetherspoons. I made the mistake of going on Twitter and going, this is our table number. To the point where the chef came over and bollocked us. Because they're like, we keep getting orders for eggs and bowls of gravy. I was like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. I'll delete the tweet.
Oh, I can't believe this thing that I wanted to happened.
Yeah, I know, right? I just, oh, no, what's this? The consequences of my actions. I was the living embodiment of the Pikachu meme.
Poor Wetherspoon chef's like, yeah, ha ha.
Yeah, funny as fuck, mate. Here's another 4 eggs for your table.
Looks like the yolk's on you, mate.
Oh!
And the Wetherspoon chef's like, I know people.
I think this guy certainly did. How are you, more importantly?
I'm all right. This guy from Wetherspoon's going, do you know where Tom's address is? I'll give you 500 quid.
No, but I know where he's getting married.
So speaking of this new shirt I bought.
That explains the guy that turned up.
Yeah, now everything's grand. By the time you listen to this, Mama Botch will be visiting, which I'm there like, it'll be all right.
Go on, Elaine.
It'll be all right. But I've got the same relationship in my head, I guess, like you, how you treat your cat. I'm like, I hope you're going to be all right. And as soon as I see it, I'm like, oh, fuck's sake.
Well, look, if your relationship with your mum is anything like my cat, then just make sure you clean out her litter tray.
What's in the rest of the news this week, Tom?
Big up, Elaine. Love you. I love Elaine. She's great. She's class. This is an end of an era. This is the last episode of WWF SmackDown.
Yes, it is.
The last episode of WWF SmackDown.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. That's the end for us. We'll have a new one next week. But we'll talk about that next week because what has happened hasn't officially happened yet. So we'll talk on that next week.
That's right. ITV Digital, the rights lapse.
The waves were far more, far wider and far taller than you realised with
today,
ITV
Bradford
Digital.
Today, Bradford City, tomorrow, WWF.
Now, there is potentially a massive free agent that could be WWF bound this particular week. And it's a name that we won't really hear about for a while yet, but he's in the conversation this week.
Is it Goldberg?
It's Goldberg!
Of course it is! So, first name, fuck.
So this particular week, he negotiated a contract buyout with Time Warner. He is now a free agent. So Goldberg was the last WCW guy still under a Turner contract.
The Larry Bundy.
Very much the Larry Bundy. Hello, you. I'm hanging in there.
I'm Bill Goldberg. His top 5 things I'd rather do than wrestle again.
What will he do with this impenetrable insight? This watertight warrant? This constructive contract? Well, hello, you. I'm Bill Goldberg.
That's Goldberg's music.
Wow.
That's the noise he made when he hit that limo with his arm. Anyway, Tom, I'm sorry to talk over you.
Never be sorry. So Goldberg.
Time Water.
which is their
brand. Oh, so they've been liquidated, I get it.
Yeah, how Evian of me. So Goldberg has basically sat there like the last orange in the fruit bowl when it comes to all the WCW guys. They've all taken buyouts or the contracts have lapsed, and there's Goldberg just sitting there going, nope, Won it all. It wasn't Goldberg that approached Time Warner. It was Time Warner that approached Goldberg and said, look, we've got to get you gone. And as a result, according to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, it is believed that he was paid pretty much in full. Goldberg has claimed since then that it was over 90% of the contract money, whereas some people got like pennies on the dollar to get bought out of their deal. Goldberg pretty much nearly got all of it. Good lad.
How that works then?
Well, they were just keen just to shut that door on wrestling.
Yeah.
So they didn't. I don't think they expected anybody to sit out the deal as long as Goldberg did. And it just kind of went, look, we're sort of clearing out the offices of admin season. We've just got to get this wrestling thing, this door shut. And literally the only thing left in the room is Goldberg. And then we can turn it into, a baby's room or something in Time Warner. So they had to pay. They paid him out and he's free agent. As of press time, says the Observer, friends say that Goldberg is leaning more towards working for New Japan or Pride as opposed to the WWF. Yeah. Meltzer opines. He's a big fan of Pride, apparently.
It's the idea of Goldberg going to Pride.
Well, like a rainbow hat on.
Goldberg. Yeah, fucking dear. Yes, that's what I'm thinking about.
He's off to the main stage to watch Steps. Meltzer opines, even if they botch his debut somehow, which is almost certain to happen, he will surely make some big money, at least short term. As hideous as last year's WCW angle was, the Invasion pay-per-view was actually still an enormous success. Goldberg would have to be protected and pushed above a lot of other guys in order to generate the most money for the longest period of time. While there is good chance that's not going to happen, it is a possibility. Sources state that Vince and Stephanie had a long meeting this weekend after the SmackDown number came in, and Vince was prepared to make Goldberg a huge offer. We'll keep tabs on that one. As the sun might be coming up for Goldberg in the WWF, the sun is setting for Hollywood Hulk Hogan. This has been a change that has been alarmingly quick. So we had Goldberg almost like last week still getting monster pops. He came out as the champion, monster reaction. However, as we'll talk about more so when we get into this episode of SmackDown ends up being one of the lowest rated SmackDowns in a while. And it's headlined by Hollywood Hulk Hogan versus Chris Jericho. Meltzer says, unless Vince McMahon is truly determined to bring his company down in flames, the run of Hulk Hogan on top should come to an abrupt end very quickly. This particular episode of SmackDown we're going to talk about, headlined by Hogan defending his undisputed title against Chris Jericho, drew an abysmal 2.9, by far the lowest number in the history of the show. And what's worse, ratings for ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and the WB in that time slot were all up between 7 and 30% from 2 weeks ago, whereas the UPN number dropped by a fifth. His overrun segment with The Undertaker on Raw did an atrocious 4.1, the lowest in years. How funny to look at that now and go, what a terrible number, 4.1.
Stop it, don't be like Conrad Thompson. I know these are OG.
Get me up on this.
Every episode, that fucking idiot says it.
It's the same, but yeah.
I mean, the guy I love, sorry, I know Jeff Jarrett's one you hate.
No, it was to be fair, it was Conrad this week that was encouraging Jeff Jarrett to come over here and, quote, figure for the shit out of him. So cheers, Connie. I thought we were pals. But it is all relative. It's like saying, bloody hell, I remember when bread cost 2p. Yeah, but it was 2p in old money.
Yes.
You know, it's different now. It's all relative. We didn't have a million.
That thing 20 years ago, that were different.
Yeah, of course it was. Do you remember when things were different? If Hogan wasn't scheduled to lose the belt to Undertaker at Judgment Day, he almost certainly is scheduled to lose it now. Continuing to push Hogan, says Dave Meltzer, as a top star, in the hopes it'll help offset some of the costs associated with bringing him in, is actually counterproductive if his appearances continue to hurt the business the way it has in the last 2 weeks. Now, it's true. That's
hurt
a really...
the business.
Yeah. Now, Dave's soured a little bit. So I think take what he's saying here with a pinch of salt, because we watched SmackDown last week and Hogan was getting massive reactions in the arena. But as we've seen, big reactions in an arena at a wrestling show don't necessarily give you the big picture, do they? There's obviously more to it than that. And they're obviously, and what happens with Hogan's title reign going forward kind of says, actually, there probably was an urgency to sort of call time on this one final run as quickly as possible, which is something that we will get to. This is interesting this week, Matthew Gregg. The In Demand website is listing some new weekly Wednesday night pay-per-views starting in June. Labeled as NWA TNA, Total Nonstop Wrestling.
Ooh.
What's all that about? The TNA is meant to be a bit rude, which suggests that Vince Russo may be involved in some way, shape, or form. The idea being that if they're going to run on pay-per-view, they want to offer tits, because that'll be what makes people buy pay-per-view every week. Mm. That's the school of thought. It says that NWA TNA would like to create, quote, a new stable, figuring that will help attract and keep new viewers in the 18 to 34 demo that are willing to pay $9.95 a week to watch wrestling. So it's interesting that one of the focal points of this new project, which we will still be talking about fucking 20 years later, is to find an attractive young female soul to draw eyes in. And by the way, we might have some wrestling on.
And they did find it. Her name was Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett. They did find a hot young blonde. They found Jeff Jarrett. WWF are getting sued this week. Not the one that we'll talk about next week, but certainly this one. Larry Zbysko is in the news.
There we go.
He has officially filed three lawsuits against WWE, Christopher Irvine, and Vince McMahon over the usage of the term living legend.
Yeah.
Larry Whistler, a.k.a. Larry Zbysko, says that the name is his, despite the fact that he stole it from Waldeck Zbysko. And he claims he trademarked the term...
From who? What did you say?
Waldeck Zbysko.
What?
Waldeck?
Is that supposed to be a joke? He took it from Bruno.
Did he?
Is he talking shit?
He must be talking shite.
Okay.
Well, ignore that bit then. Fuck the Observer.
Unless Bruno stole it from him, which is news to me.
Well, okay. Someone stole it from Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. Uh-huh. He claims that the trademark Living Legend is his, when really he stole it from someone else, basically. WWE are so concerned by this, they upped Jericho's usage of the term Living Legend.
Yeah, I noticed that they started saying it more. Mm. Vince said it one episode a while ago.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, why is he saying it? Because like, fuck you, Larry.
Because fuck you, Larry is why they're saying it. This past weekend, Larry Zbysko worked an indie show in Jonestown, Pennsylvania. He cut a long promo talking about what a dick Vince McMahon was, how he was illegally infringing on his trademark, and all of that good stuff. Then, moments later, they had the championship wrestling version of the NWO come out to the NWO theme song without a single trace of irony.
Hey.
I like Larry Zbysko in Pennsylvania talking about how shit the WWF and Vince McMahon are, as we are 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, where we understand Larry Zbysko is an invited guest to WrestleMania 40. According to PW Insider.
Oh, you mean real-life WrestleMania, yes.
IRL.
2024.
WrestleMania.
Well, that again.
IRL
E, weren't things different 20 years ago? E, by
dumb. It is funny how things are different.
E.
So that's the news that is the news. We've got loads of good news coming up in the weeks to come, but this...
Not for WWF.
Fucking terrible news for WWF. If you, mind you know, every cloud's a silver lining. If you work in the censoring and blurring division of a media company.
Cha-ching.
Mate, it is Christmas in July soon. Good for you. Anyway, enough of that. This is where Matthew Gregg takes us by the hand or the gland, depending how lucky you are, and walks us through the streets of SmackDown from Thursday, May the 2nd, 2002.
Ooh, thank you, Tom. Ooh. We're in Pittsburgh, PA, at the Mellon Arena. That's what it says. There are about healthy 10,000 fans. Jacked before this, the Godfather defeated Taz, the Hurricane defeated Albert, Humorous defeated Sho Funaki, and Chavo Guerrero Jr. defeated Maven.
Oh.
Yeah, sounds great. We recap with Jericho pinning Triple H last week on SmackDown, but only via roll-up once Undertaker had interfered. Just so we're clear. Triple H must have been the dude who wanted that shown as the very first thing on SmackDown. On Raw, during Regal versus Hogan, Undertaker decided to interfere and bust open Hogan, making the Hulkster look like a hot dog with ketchup.
Did you enjoy the opening bit, which featured some of the most iconic production music that WWF has, in my opinion? I couldn't find what it's called. I did desperately look. If you can help me with this, right, classic at cultaholic.com, at the end of the bit where Jericho wins, they play that do 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 do. That one.
No.
I really like it. I've heard it a few times, and I've gone through like 50 different production tracks on YouTube to find what it's called, and I can't find it.
Really Almost on the good. Lake. Do-do-do. Live and let die.
It was live and let die. It was live and let die. I enjoy watching Hogan get beaten with his belt buckle.
Yeah.
He gets beaten with his own belt and bust open. And then we even get a little tease of what is to come at Judgment Day. No, not a showdown between Undertaker and Hogan, but a shitty chokeslam.
Yes. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum.
Let's watch SmackDown with the main event of Jericho facing Hogan for the title. Yeah, Jericho's definitely winning.
On commentary, Michael Cole says, Pittsburgh is jacked, which is good because Jax was on before.
That's nice.
Nice.
Pittsburgh is SmackDown. Doesn't really work, does it?
Pittsburgh is Sunday Night Heated.
Yeah. Oh. Heated, though, can describe the next match. WF Tag Champs Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo, with Rico, taking on Rikishi and the Hurricane. Cole points out Hurricane is a cruiserweight and Rikishi is a heavyweight. He's like David Seaman. Nothing gets past him. Cole reminds us of Also and Maven disrobing the gays last week to embarrass the gays. But it's okay because Al and Maven are straight. They just want to see hot gay men. Taz points out Rikishi's ass weighs the same as Hurricane's entire body. Rikishi squishes Chuck as Cole points out that the titles are on the line. I put, these guys get a shot after teaming for the first time.
This is their first ever time together as a tag team.
Title shot. Yeah. The tag team is dead right now.
I feel like this was a match that was probably for Rikishi and Scotty. But now Scotty is injured.
He is injured.
And Scotty is out for the rest of the year. So they have just gone, let's just pretend Scotty is the Hurricane. Let's just put them back in the position where they were before. I tried to defy the silliness and try and find a kayfabe logic to it. And maybe because Scotty and Rikishi have been successful as a team, they count by just swapping out the Hurricane. He still earns their plaudits. He's like a sub.
Rikishi can only team up with people who related to weather. So Scotty is obviously too hotty, like the midsummers that we're having due to global warming. And the Hurricane is like a big wind, which Rikishi also passes.
And you know who his family member is that he could also team with?
Who?
Roman Reigns. Reigns. Weather.
Said his family member, and I went, "Oh, Hurricane!"
No, Roman Reigns.
That's right.
See him as Roman Reigns, and his other brother,
Lance Storm,
Steve go Cloudy.
On. Go on, you fucking. Some of these, I like when Tom stutters.
Neil Overcast.
The joke is resisting falling out his mouth. It's like, no, no, don't make me go out. Don't let me say it.
Everyone's gonna hate me. Steve Cloudy.
No!
Everyone thinks I'm shit.
Hurricane teases the choke slam, and no one reacts because he's lost a lot of steam after the rumble. Mm. He gets the hot tag to Rikishi, who has more steam, flying off his ass. Billy takes the Rikishi cell from Rikishi clothesline, because it's only polite. Kishi does a good bit where he doesn't realize Billy is slumped in the corner. So the crowd go nuts as Hurricane points out, goes, he's behind you, give him the ass. And Rikishi slowly turns and gives him the ass. Or attempts to. However, Rico saves Billy, so Hurricane tags in and crossbodies Chuck as Billy yanks Rikishi off, which distracts the ref, allowing Rico to spin kick Hurricane so Chuck can pin. A decent opener, but the tag division is so dead. Oh. It makes the CMLL invasion of AEW look like the Norman Conquest. Post-match, however, Rikishi nails the ass on Rico to send the fans home happy, and they all leave because that's the main event.
what more do you need? Tom? I thought, okay, considering the kayfabe stupidity of Rikishi and Hurricane getting a tag shot on their first time ever teaming ever for seemingly no reason, I thought it was a fun match. I quite enjoyed it. I like that Rico got the choke slam at the end. So, but I feel like the joy with Hurricane was waiting for him to hit the choke slam.
The idea of him doing it's funny.
Yeah, but then because I seem to recall there is a moment where he wins the cruiserweight title with the choke slam, and it was a massive moment because it was like he never fucking hits the choke slam, and he's fucking won a belt with it, like the Martin Kirby Zoidberg Elba.
Yeah. But the joke is he tried to do it like on guys like Kane. Mm. He's like, well, he's not doing that. On the cruiserweight dude, he's like, no, you can hit that. Mm. It's not quite the same, is it? Wow, he hit it on Funaki. Holy shit.
But he should always try and do it, and he should always get countered, no matter what size you are. Obviously, on the big ones, you go, they're going to shoe it off. But then on the little ones, and the ones of his size, they should always, he should never get to hit it.
They'll figure it out.
They'll get there, won't they?
Anyway, backstage, Lance and Val are talking to one another until Kurt interrupts and says, you guys are pathetic. All you've done on SmackDown so far is take bets on Mark Henry. This is true. Mm-hmm. Kurt says tonight his real shirt will be unveiled. It's the American hero. It's true. It's true. I've got gold medals. How about you? Val laughs and says, it is true, Kurt. You suck. And turns down Kurt's offer to wear a shirt to the ring. Kurt says, ah, what does he know? He wears a towel.
Good point by Angle. What does he know?
Lance, however, would be very proud to wear Kurt's shirt tonight, but ask Kurt if he's afraid they'll chant, you suck. Of course not, says Kurt. This is Pittsburgh. He's from here. They don't have anyone else to cheer for. He gives their life meaning. Lance says, well, you know, there is Mario Lemieux. He was playing for Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. And Kurt, in a moment that would never happen today, says, ah, whatever. I reckon Mario Lemieux faked Hodgkin's disease for sympathy. And then I went on his Wikipedia. In 1993, the same year he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, Lemieux created the Mario Lemieux Foundation to fund medical research projects. Additionally, the foundation supports other organizations, including blah, 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 blah. In 07, he was among the well-known athletes who founded Athletes for Hope, a charitable organization which helps professional athletes get involved in charitable causes and inspire non-athletes to volunteer and support the community. Jesus, fuck!
He faked Hodgkin's? All-around lovely lad, but he apparently faked Hodgkin's.
Yeah.
He didn't, by the way.
Faked Hodgkin's. Wow, crowd is not happy with that.
No, but it had the right effect. Angle also saying Pittsburgh would be the pits without me. I thought it was a nice line.
Yeah, but after that, I was too busy going, I can't believe you just said that about Hodgkin's. Jesus.
Yeah, it's a spicy. It's, and you know what? It's a throwaway line. It's not even like, because if you're going to say it today, they'd really zoom in on it and they would get the comeuppance for saying it. This is like a throwaway line. So, like, just, oh, by the way, he probably faked his disease. Bye. Like, let's never mention this again. It's true.
Beforehand, they head to the ring. Kurt continues to tell the crowd Lance doesn't suck. He's like, hey, stop saying you suck for Lance, which they would. He may be Canadian, but he's pretty cool. And Lance is like, yeah, it's true. Cole says, stop the pain, as Kurt lists all of his accomplishments and reminds us the shirt is only available in XXL and above. Taz says, well, better start putting on some weight, Cole. Kurt says the fans can afford the shirts by stopping spending all their money on booze. Which makes no edge. To say he loves Kurt's new shirt and everyone should wear it. Oh, wait, not that shirt that Kurt's wearing. It's the shirt that Val's wearing. It's the you suck variant. And Val comes out to pose like a model. And Kurt yells, no, stop shilling my merch. You're giving me residual checks. No, I can't take it. Please.
Stop it, you monsters. Oh, you better not buy that T-shirt. Swear to God.
Oh. Kurt gets mad at Edge not leaving him alone, and he wants a rematch at Judgment Day. And he's going to be the one that sucks.
They let that hang in the air as well.
Sucking his meals through a straw at the hospital. Hey.
That's right. Sucking my penis.
Lance calms Kurt down. Don't suck his penis, Kurt. And suggests something else. Because Kurt knows he can beat Edge anytime. So instead, Kurt is going to humiliate Edge instead. And you know what? You know that pretty little head he's got? Kurt's going to shave it bald if he loses.
Yeah, pretty little head you got. Kurt's going to suck it off.
Yeah. Edge says fine. Only if Kurt loses the match, Kurt gets shaved bald. Kurt has a little reconsider. He goes, whoa, these people in Pittsburgh will die if their Olympic hero has their head shaved. Val Venus, in a weird moment, says, well, to quote a great man, Steve Austin, says, give me a you suck if you think Kurt should do it. Crowd sucks. And Kurt says, all right, fine. I'll let these people down. So Edge says, okay, fine. You'll be red, white, and bald at Judgment Day. And that's the end of the segment. This rules.
This was great fun.
This was so funny.
Really good stuff. Like, the Angle T-shirt thing has been a lot of fun. More than I remember it being. And what a butterfly effect Lance Storm sets off. Because I didn't realize it was Lance Storm. I forgot it was Lance Storm's idea.
Oh, I see. Oh, in kayfabe, yeah.
Yeah, in kayfabe.
Sorry, I was getting like, no, I'm pretty sure the booking committee had. Oh, yeah, it's Lance's fault.
But in kayfabe, this is all Lance Storm's
stupid
fault.
Lads.
Yeah. what happens for Kurt Angle over the next 20 years of his career, and to this day, is all Lance Storm's fault.
Yeah, I think it's a good usage of two dudes who aren't doing much right now, and Lance is good at the, hey, do whatever I tell you. Okay.
Yeah.
I have nothing going on.
He does it very well, and this was a lot of fun.
Kurt is amazing.
He's
playing all the instruments. He's like the old fella from Mary Poppins.
He's hitting his stride, isn't he, really? Yeah. I'd be sad if he goes to the Olympics and they take him away from us for a year.
Yeah.
I hope he keeps wrestling even though he's really injured and doesn't take the time off that he desperately needs.
He should do a double shot, win a gold medal again, and then get on a private jet.
Yeah.
And beat Edge.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Tabaki is Wacky presents Randy Orton crossbodying Holly to win his first match next week. Well, it's hardcore Holly. Surely it should be angry bodying him.
I remember the nickname that we had for Randy Orton when I was in college when he debuted. Me and my geeky wrestling friends.
What do you call him?
We called him Blandy Orton.
Oh, very appropriate.
T-E-E.
My dad had a name for him.
Oh, yeah?
Long Streak of Piss. Now it's time for the rematch. And I put Randy's pop couldn't have been faker if it was just audio of Tom going, yay.
Yay.
Yeah. Earlier today, Stacey hit on Randy because she's perma horny. She wishes him good luck and pervs all over him. Randy declines Holly's invitation to send the end of the ring as he holds the ropes open for him. Randy gets slapped around for daring to not do the thing Holly wanted him to do, but gets a few lucky roll-ups. Holly kicks out because he's expecting them and powerbombs Randy. However, Randy makes a fiery white meat comeback with back body drops and the like, keeping the heat on Holly until Hardcore gets mad and low blows Randy for the blatant DQ. Holly doesn't give a shit because he isn't a diva's bag left backstage and delivers the Alabama Slammer on the entrance ramp, which is fucking brutal. I put slowly but surely here for Randy.
Slowly but surely. Now, is this the first time when Holly comes out that we have the new version of his music? Because this, I think, is the first time we have it's his music, the same music, but it starts with Holly going, how do you like me now?
It's and I such don't think a we've bad heard insertion as well.
It's so shit in it.
So
it's like he recorded it backstage about 2 minutes before, and somebody had a free copy of Adobe Audition, just lobbed it in.
Oh wait, I can't take this theme seriously because whenever I think of it, I get this weird flashbulb memory to when I found one of those. You've probably seen them on YouTube when you're looking for stuff for footage. There are a number of accounts that are just like big, strong.
Where's this going?
Like the big, like really, Bill Cosme, or whatever the guy's name was, like doing a bear hug to some jobber. Yeah. Like, and they've got lots of hits. And you look at the comments and they're all like, yeah, look at them getting it. And it's like that. There used to be a montage of like Chubba's getting bear hugged, and it was set to the do 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 do. I'm like, is this the ultimate groove for like muscle bear enthusiasts?
I think it might be. I think you might have stumbled across a very particular part of the internet there.
Yeah, it's funny when you realize, like, okay, back, reverse. But if there are any like muscle bears out there listening, what is your theme to listen to? What if you have to have a wrestling thing in the background while you're getting in the mood?
Classic at cultaholic.com. Whilst you're knocking one out to bear hugs, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah.
If you're looking for inspiration, I've got a whole YouTube history now full of production music from WWF, which might work quite well.
Someone's got emergency beat on. Jobber's broken in an instant. Come on the wall.
Well, I know what I'm clipping off for the start of the podcast this week.
Thank you.
That bit.
Moving on. Farouk brags about how much money he's made from betting on Henry.
This was funny.
He offers Mark a cut, but seems reluctant to actually give it to him.
Because he goes, take what? Here, have some of this. He's got loads of hundreds in his hands. Take one. Take this. Mark's like, nah, man, I'm happy doing it. Nah, I'm serious. Take something. And he goes, take 100. And Mark goes, whoa, no, don't take that. Don't take that. Here's a 20.
Yeah.
Gives him 20.
So great. Then Devon shows up and declares money is the root of all evil. I've heard that rumor. So he offers to take it from them and put it towards the Devon Building Fund. Mark Henry tells him to testify his ass out of here before he does something sinful with that box. Devon promises lightning will strike Henry down. Either lightning will strike you down or he will.
I love that. I think it's lightning will strike you down. If it doesn't, brother Devon will.
Like, that's a good line.
Great line, that is. Yeah.
Then Farouk gives Mark a 10.
Yeah. As Devon leaves, Farouk goes, you got that 20? Yeah, let me give you a 10.
Yeah. No, but hey, another good segment. It's all really good. These guys are getting time to do stuff and show their personality.
We're having fun this week.
Farouk's personality is a tight ass.
We're having some fun this week, aren't
we? Yeah. I'm liking Reverend Devon the more I see of him. I'm like, this gimmick's got legs. Except it doesn't. And then it's the segment with the bad guys.
So, we are rebranding that particular bad guy, Vince McMahon, in the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review to villains that you suggest on the email address classic@cultaholic.com. This seems appropriate. It comes from Nathan Armstrong.
Hello, Nathan.
Who says, greetings and salutations. As a longtime watcher of Botchamania, a loyal Cultaholic patron, an adamant Tom Campbell enthusiast, that's three of you now.
Oh, wow.
I thought I would join in on helping you to name he who should never be named again during his numerous appearances during the Classic SmackDown review. He has given us a fantastic list. There is one that I am choosing, not so much because it's the best one, but because it's appropriate, because he was referred to this by Ronda Rousey this week as well in her new memoir. So for today, as chosen by Nathan Armstrong of Southwest PA, Vince McMahon will be known as Emperor Palpatine.
Thank God. I thought you were like one of the guy who runs Saudi Arabia.
No,
I'm not doing that.
No. Emperor Palpatine, which Ronda calls him Emperor Palpatine. Do it. So Emperor Palpatine is backstage fucking groping Stacey Keibler. And these all make me uncomfortable now.
Yeah, if the idea of Vince doing this isn't bad enough, Emperor Palpatine showing up to rub Stacey's stomach. Palpatine goes to kiss her belly button, but Jericho interrupts, looking crappier than usual. Jericho wants to know how he knows Hogan won't try and get himself DQ'd tonight. He knows Undertaker may show up, so he knows Hogan will be more violent as a result. You can argue with that logic, but Emperor Palpatine uses his powers to make it no DQ. And also vows no Undertaker interference, because Palpatine and Flair, who have never been seen in the same room together, agreed no more interfering in each other's brands, or they will suspend wrestlers from now on. Triple H is brought up, and Palpatine promises Triple H will not interfere either. Palpatine goes to resume kissing, but realizes Jericho is still there in the chair behind him, so Palpatine tells him to sod off.
Get away. And leaves them to be pervs. Stacey's a perv, but Vince is the mega perv. Yeah. And they fade off as Palpatine goes to what looks like inhale Stacey's face.
I could see Palpatine doing that.
I could see Palpatine doing that as well.
And they, when they go to the next segment, it's a segue.
It's a woof.
I couldn't remember how to say it, but Star Wars uses some very old transition effects.
Are with you, like a
transition. Deliberately. Yeah. Because they stole everything from, you know, the Kurosawa film. So I thought, I'll take them and all.
They suddenly fade.
I'm trying to explain that with an
audio
podcast.
Circular transition out into the desert of Tatooine.
Yes. And we zoom in on Wahoo McDaniel, who is dead. WF remembers Wahoo McDaniel. Oh, yeah, him. Also, Lou Tez is dead. Well, that was nice.
Yeah, so a little
before
nod.
The archive acquiral, there wasn't much they could do with the lack of footage, or, to be honest with you, general knowledge of the olden days, but at least they were acknowledged. But this was very, very nice and surprising. But nowadays, you get like a 5-minute thing of, you know, Lita going, oh, I remember Lou Tez when I was a kid.
she was a big fan of Lou Tez.
Yeah. Lou Tez's favorite song, Disturbed.
He was considered was Lou Thayer's, because we talked about Wahoo McDaniel the other week. Lou Thayer's considered generally one of the last sort of true shooters in wrestling, because he was trained by Ed Strangler Lewis, one of the Gold Dust Trio from the slam bang American style, Western style wrestling, which became sports entertainment. Yeah. So Lou Thayer's came through there, basically.
And you all know our name as the Gold Dust Trio. It's a great promo, Lou Tez. Have you heard that story the Sheik had? The Sheik was, this is how far the Sheik goes back, Jesus, to wrestle Lou Tez, this big stadium show. But like, Sheik's like, I'm not a fucking shooter. Like, and just convinced Tez was going to like beat the fuck out of him. She's like, you're not a proper wrestler. Like, what the state are ye? So apparently, again, I've got to find more like sourcing for this, but it was in one of Sabu's books. Sheik, as soon as the bell rang, Sheik ran out the ring and out the stadium and hid underneath a double-decker bus.
Because he thought Lou was going to fucking go for him.
Yeah, because it's like, what am I going to do? Tez is going to rip my head off. So I was like, I can't do anything to that. And Tez just like, for hours, was like, get the fuck out of that underneath that bus. No.
What a match.
No. She's there, I presume, like trying to swipe him with pencils. But it got so much publicity. This was like, and they did a bunch of rematches, did Big Business, because of the publicity of the Sheik hiding under a bus for 2 hours. That, like, Tez's like, no, I'm all right with you. If I'm making money, I'm not going to fuck with you. And she's like, oh, thank God.
Or am I?
All I had to do was, you know, screw several thousand people out of the Cena main event.
I that whole period to me is fascinating. It was the one that sort of Luthers was coming away from, like the Gold Dust Trio, and how they were building a wrestling style that people were really upset about. And they had picked this football star to become like the big wrestling champion. His name's fallen completely out of my head.
I think I know you're referring to.
Yeah. But he wasn't trained as a wrestler, but they just put him in there with weak guys who took the money to take the L. And then it was when he started getting in the ring with fucking shooters that they went, nah, he's fucking shit. I'm just going to crack him.
Yeah.
And that was where it was all exposed. And it was obviously then you'd have, it was still sort of the framework of what wrestling would become post the shoot workers era. Yeah. But Lou was the last of one of those. And it was nice that he got a little nod, nod here to Lou Thez. Bless his face.
Bless him.
And obviously he lives on through the Lou Thez press.
Yeah. I like that. I can't remember the exact bit where he says it, but he's just like, I hate all the modern wrestling, hated like the 80s stuff. But he's like, I'm really flattered that Austin uses my move though. That's nice. Like, cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Shit, but I appreciate that. Anyway, Kurt Angle and Lance Storm, wearing the new Kurt shirt, take on Edge and Val Venus. Solid stuff to start with, as Val gets put over as a fun-loving guy who likes the ladies, which means they've got nothing going for him then. There's only room for one 1998 dude to get pushed, and it's Edge. Sorry, mate. Edge gets battered by Lance and Kurt while Val stays in the corner, remembering when he was over. Edge finally counters a springboarding Lance into a power slam. Very smooth. Mild attack to Venus allows him to get attacked so Edge can double clothesline both lads. Spear to Kurt before Lance and Edge end up outside. Val gets a near fall on Kurt, bloody hell, but Lance grabs Val's foot while he's on the rope so Kurt can spider monkey climb the ropes and belly to belly Val for two. Kurt tries a slam, but Val rolls Kurt up in a O'Connor roll to make you think, bloody hell, is Val going to pin Kurt? But Edge is too busy distracting the ref, so Lance runs in the superkick Val, which turns him over into the pin. Wow. They shoved a lot of action in a match I was not expecting.
Really good match. Everyone sort of was very much in the room.
Yes.
Like, they're all locked in, ready to go. Edge and Angle are about to have another banger on pay-per-view, and Val Boesky and Storm realise they're in some good gravitational pull here. So they're going to fucking work their socks off as well. I really like the springboard into the power slam on Lance Storm by Edge. I thought that was beautiful. Possibly my move of the match. But yeah, really fun match. Really good tag match. Angle and Edge off to have a banger in 2 weeks of Judgment Day that will change the shape and the face of at least one person.
Yes. Jericho was here to talk. So was the crowd. They say Hogan over and over again.
Did you see the guy that Jericho pointed at as he walked out? He was holding up a sign. The sign said, Hulkamania burns in me. Sounds quite painful.
Yeah.
Held up a sign right in Jericho's face and said, Hulkamania burns in me. I was like, okay.
Get some cream for that.
Yeah, you can get some cream.
Jericho assures them they won't bring him down because he's the king of the world and the Mac Daddy. Ugh, is that the replacement for Living Legend? Jericho says he beat Triple H clean last week, and Cole says, no, you did. No, Undertaker helped. No.
Stop it, man. Mac Daddy.
Okay, nothing's getting past Cole. Jericho assures us he will drive a stake through Hogan's heart. In fairness, Hogan does look like a steak. A well-done one.
That looks like a very chewy steak.
Triple H's music plays, and the game heads out to not a particularly big pop, it has to be said, because he's not Hogan. Jericho mouths off at Triple H, knowing he can't touch him. So he calls Triple H jealous a lot of times, because he'll be committing career suicide. Jericho tries to provoke Triple H by saying he was champ for 4 months, and Triple H could only manage 4 lousy weeks. So why don't you hit me, big man? Come on, you son of a bitch. He doesn't, so Jericho laughs. Triple H says he's smiling. Sorry, he's not smiling because he's scared of Jericho. He's smiling because he knows Jericho has no chance of winning the title tonight. And then Jericho sods off.
No chance in hell.
No chance in hell, beg your pardon. As always, great segment for Triple H and all for one for Jericho.
Yeah, it felt like a bit of a time filler more than anything. Maybe to really beat home the fact that Triple H has some kind of plan up his sleeve.
Mm.
He's planning
the cerebral assassin.
He thinks
better.
He's so cerebral that everywhere he goes, he tells people how cerebral he is.
Look at the big brain on Tripper.
Look at the big fucking brain. It was a setup all along, Elmsley.
Yeah. Subway, Honda, and Stacker 2 presents Mark Henry and Farouk taking on Christian and Test.
That's a big dinner.
Nom, nom, nom.
Try going to Subway this weekend without saying, when you place your order. Yeah. Impossible challenge.
Test Tan is set to Chernobyl. My God. There's only how many tellies if you're watching this.
It is quite bright, isn't it?
Mark is too big to be double teamed and easily press slam Stickman Christian. Farouk tags in and also dominates easily until Devon heads to the crowd and starts talking and getting donations from the fans. Farouk is still doing a great job of beating up Christian, but Mark Henry gets distracted and throws Devon's money into the crowd. Devon tries to hit Mark from behind, but he's big, so it has no effect. So Mark chases him into the crowd. The dum-dum, of course, leaves Farouk alone, and he easily falls victim to reverse DDT. And the two Canucks are so damn happy about winning, with little C jumping into Big T's arms. Aww.
Well, it's nice to see them get a win.
Yeah.
As a tag team. We won a match! Farouk looks livid.
Yeah.
Well, he did make a lot of money off Mark Henry.
Come on, man. He's looking for that $10.
Yeah, come on, man. Give me that $10 back.
But I thought it was a decent little match. You'd set up stuff. We're getting some character work. Yeah. I'm all right with it.
Loads of nice little green shoots on SmackDown at the moment. Reverend Devon, I really like at this point.
Yeah.
Really good fun stuff.
I have zero memory of him, apart from his little dude he brings along. But I'm liking him more and more every week.
Little dude.
Little tiny man.
You're bringing a little tiny man along.
Oh, no.
Speaking of which.
Get in my box.
Then we have Cruiserweight Champion Tajiri takes on Billy Kidman. And I put, whoa, what the hell is this thing doing here in the pre-main event slot?
Oh.
We get clips of the Backlash match, courtesy of WF Home Video. It's nice of them to lend that to SmackDown, isn't it?
There you go. You have to return it with the tape rewound, otherwise they'll kick off.
Yeah.
Did you like the way that Tajiri was wearing his title now?
How was he wearing his title?
He had it around his neck.
Ah.
Like draped around his neck like a scarf. Not like how Bubba would have a tag title where he would do it up and have it sit there like a neck brace.
Yeah.
Tajiri had it like a scarf. So like the title belt was here and it was wrapped around his neck.
Ah.
I quite liked it. I like people finding new ways to wear title belts. Yes. All for it.
I wish I'd paid attention to it. Tajiri kicks the hell out of Kidman, with the commentators wondering if Kidman can continue. Crowd actually gets behind Kidman. Bloody hell. So Kidman counters a handspring into a dropkick. Ooh. Tilt a Whirl doesn't connect, and neither does the powerbomb, because you can't powerbomb Kidman.
When will people learn?
However, Kidman planches to the outside, and Tajiri shoves his geisha wife into the path, leaving Kidman open to more kicks to the head for the win. Tajiri doesn't check on Tori afterwards because he's an evil fuck.
He's proper evil, isn't he? What a nasty man Tajiri
is. Even more evil fuck than when I'm neck deep in someone, when Tom's sat next to me going, it's me wedding tomorrow. Christ.
Just keep it down. I'll put my headphones in. I'll listen to Welcome to Night Vale again.
Yeah, nice little match here. Again, they're trying to build. They've got the time to build. Sorry. They've got the time Don't to build on Tajiri and Kidman and everything else. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about this, SmackDown.
SmackDown's so really good this week. And you know what? It's annoying.
Yeah, we're powering through it.
We're powering through it.
It's the shortest episode we've ever done.
Fucking hell. We're enjoying it too much.
Let's try and milk this next bit then. Backstage, Emperor Palpatine adjusts his gear, which, of course, is a big, dirty goth cape. Because he's just finished fucking Stacy. Somehow Palpatine turned. Came back is what I was going for. Whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cum jokes. Palpatine asks Stacy to bring Triple H to the Death Star.
Triple H.
She does. He appears. Good service. Palpatine is so distracted by Stacy, he nearly forgets why he activates his shower.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a nice little bit. He's like, yeah, look at that. Hey, Triple H, why are you here? Oh, yeah, I called you.
Was that a shoot they left in? I feel like it was a shoot they left in.
Yeah, yes.
After all, Vince does write all these segments. Oh, God,
who?
Sorry, Palpatine does
George
write all
Lucas
these segments.
George Lucas writes this. George. That's right. Somehow even more evil than Vince. Palpatine says, stay away or else.
It'll be Gilgamesh, you aside. If you step in there and hurt Jericho.
You would need to step away from this fully functioning Death Star. I love that one as a kid. It's like, whoa, no, it works.
I thought it was part functioning. Damn it.
Semi-functioning. You have to give it a kick.
This somewhat functioning Death Star.
Yeah.
It needs this upgrade requiring Death Star.
The laser couldn't microwave against us pasty right now.
We're just waiting for the builders to turn up.
There's no audio. We have to have someone yell, zap! Which is irrelevant because it's space and there's no audio.
The kitchen on the
fifth. But I like it.
The kitchen on the fifth floor isn't quite plumbed in yet, so don't use the bathrooms on the ninth either.
Yes. We're too busy painting everything grey.
Emperor Palpatine, someone's used the toilet on the ninth. Oh, fuck, it's leaked everywhere. Fuck it.
Triple H, just welcome to your new room.
Your Emperor Palpatine is excellent.
Thank you. It's years of watching the good Star Wars films.
I was always in awe of, the Death Star's so big. I want to find out more about the day-to-day of the Death Star. I don't care about, the overarching stories. I want the story of, Dan the Stormtrooper, who's there, you know, because his last job was a bit shit working at Smith's, and this one is, you know, he can be his own boss a bit more, and it means he's, 6 months away, but he sends all the money back home, and it's just... I want his story. Yeah. I want him, going to the bar on G-Deck with the lads on a Thursday going, oh, how was your week?
So it's Lower Decks, but Star Wars.
Yeah, Lower Decks, but Star Wars. I just want, the story of the Stormtroopers who just
I'll
go
give
from...
you the spoiler, Tom. They all died when the Rebel scum blew it up again.
Why do we keep getting blown up by the Rebel scum?
It's like the castle in Castlevania. Or the ratings for SmackDown with Hogan on top. Limited power.
I'm still thinking about Palpatine saying, you have to give it a kick.
Anyway, this sets up, obviously. Oh, yeah, Triple H just studying the entire time, listening to the Palpatine impression. Just goes, are you done? And then heads off. Because we all know he's Billy Big Bollocks.
He really
is. Or Dash
is.
Rendar. If you're that way inclined.
Hey!
Hulk Hogan's amazing overdub theme is here. Which, of course, is...
So he flies in on a tauntaun. Just funny, because they don't fly.
Thank you. Hogan takes on Jericho in an ODQ match of the WWF World Heavyweight Championship. For the last week, we can call it that. Jericho can't move Hogan, who shoves him down multiple times, and he flies out the ring every time. That's Jericho, not Hogan.
Of course, it's Jericho.
Plancher from Hogan. As the crowd are going nuts for the Hulkster. This was his time. And it's so weird, as you said, like, oh, the ratings are through the roof. Woohoo! Oh, no, wait, they're upside down.
Yeah, they're in the bin.
They're through the floor.
The ratings are in the bin, apparently.
But you listen to the crowd, you think, wow, this is good.
Mm.
Apparently not.
But is that not how the world moves? Because The Rock turning up and challenging Roman Reigns all those weeks ago was met with this is awesome chance, and everybody online was going, no, we won the Cody one instead.
Hang on, that's how I remember it. It was Rock going, I'm just going to take your shot. Thanks for winning the Rumble, fucker.
Yeah, but the crowd at the at the kickoff, they weren't as happy. But on that initial SmackDown, where Rock turned up and went eye to eye with Roman, after Cody went, this lad wants to fight you, crowd were chanting, this is awesome in Birmingham,
it's
Alabama.
It's one of the biggest stars in the world.
He does have a Pavlovian response. He's
the biggest star in the world. The Death Star.
The Death Star.
Here. After appearing the Fast and the Furious 12. Or whatever number they're on. I don't pay attention to that. I'm a grown man. I'm the old and the miserable. That's my liking.
Yeah, we're grown men. Fuck Fast and Furious. Anyway, what happened on WWF SmackDown?
That's right. Speaking of nostalgia, Star Wars.
My dad still goes, when you're getting a proper job. Be an electrician like your brother.
I can make electricity from my hands. Hogan works Jericho's arm until Jericho lands a back suplex and knocks Hogan's do-rag off. Sacrilege.
But the light blinded Jericho. Yeah.
Ah, my eyes!
The whole front row of SmackDown was blinded.
Oh, that's why the ratings are so low. Everyone just switched off.
They thought
me telly.
As it took it off, the light was so bright that it wiped everybody's Nielsen boxes.
Hogan's head is still wrapped up from the Undertaker belt attack.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, phew.
Avoided it.
SmackDown is saved. 10 punch in the corner ends with Hogan trying to bite Jericho.
Imagine if he knocked his do-rag off and there was just another do-rag under there.
It's do-rags all the way down, brother.
And Hogan's head just gets smaller.
How was he doing that? I don't understand.
Like a fucking trippy bit of art from the 80s.
As Hogan always had 10 heads. I don't watch wrestling, I'm sorry.
That's why everyone's called brother. Because he's got 10 heads.
Brother. Oh no, it's going. I hate that noise. Never do that again. Hogan does the 10 punch and bites Jericho. Jericho kicks him in the balls, which is only fair because he just bit him.
Holy fuck, is that not the biggest bump that you've ever seen Hogan take? Since the 80s?
A low blow?
No, because Jericho then pushed him off the second rope. And I was like, I'm struggling to remember a bigger bump that Hogan took before that cage match with Bundy.
Yeah.
Or in the cage match with Bossman, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, but they're both good.
Oh, yeah, it's good. I was just thinking...
Have you seen the clips they show of Bundy moving the ring with his avalanches at the corner to Hogan and the build-up to that? Because Hogan's like, oh, brother, he brought my back, brother. The ring moved. Yeah, whatever, you lying pieces. Oh, wow, look at that fucking ring shake.
It did fucking move.
Oh, my God, he actually did. Oh, all right.
Sorry, Hogan, we'll never doubt you again.
I'm sorry, this one time.
Tell us about you being in Metallica.
Turns out a lying clock is right twice a day. Jericho dives off the top to the outside as the crowd
boom. I like
how
you said a lying clock, not a broken clock.
Thank you. I'm glad you know
that. A lying clock.
A lying, you know, we all got a lying clock. Jericho dives at the top to the outside as the crowd boos loud for the idiot. So Chris starts doing Hogan taunts, but Hogan sidesteps a dive and delivers two thunderous elbows, but misses the third. So Jericho lands an embarrassing looking bulldog and lands the lion salt, which makes Triple H's theme play.
Ah, that old code.
He's here. It's Triple H. Look, Triple H is here. to commentate. Cole's like, why are you here? And Triple H says, I rang the psychic hotline. They gave me a good tip.
Nice. That was a funny line.
Hogan instantly makes his comeback with the finger wag and hand cup, but Jericho sees the leg drop coming. I mean, in fairness, look how slow it is, and gets the wall stuck in. It's a nice moment. Hogan refuses to tap, though, so frustrated bitch Jericho grabs a chair and slams Hogan's back with it. Triple H says he hopes Undertaker doesn't come out here. That would be bad. Undertaker's music plays immediately afterwards. Triple H, deadpan. Oh no, Undertaker is here. Amazing moment. Jericho is too distracted, and Hogan rolls him up for the 1-2-3. A furious Jericho attacks Hogan, so Triple H goes, oh, well, the match is over. Now I can beat the shit out of him. So Jericho bravely runs away. Hogan poses with the WWF title in the last ever shot of WWF TV. This match inexplicably made it onto the Best of SmackDown 10th Anniversary DVD and also Breaking the Code Behind the Walls of Chris Jericho, the alleged best of...
Wow. I mean, I see why it would be on Jericho's in the sense that, you know, we've been watching Nitro, Sam and I, on the Classic Nitro Review, and Jericho in 96 is calling out Hogan. So I kind of get why you would put a Jericho-Hogan match in there. It's so funny because, like, you had Jericho-Hogan this week. You had Hogan-Regal on Monday. Like, if this was the Evasion, this would have been fucking amazing.
Like, I remember PowerSlam magazine. I don't know why I remember this. Oh, I know why I remember this stuff. It's because I would reread and reread PowerSlam over and over again. They did the recap of Raw, and it was Hogan, Pete Regal. That was the only thing that happened on Raw that was worth talking about.
They just did Hogan beat Regal.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
It's also, I remember actually, because I went back and looked at it, Regal takes the piss out of the old Hulk Hogan cartoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he goes, it's quite surreal, isn't it?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, nice good old. Anyway,
yeah, any thoughts on the main event?
I quite enjoyed it. I thought Triple H, who tends to be, his style of humor is very, I guess we eat an Uda, yes, and he's in our stomachs. That's the joke. That's very Triple H. I thought this week he was quite funny. I quite enjoyed the, oh, I hope Undertaker doesn't come out. Oh, the Undertaker.
Oh,
here.
No, Undertaker is a here.
He did. That was quite funny.
Triple H slaps his thigh when, like, the doctor appears in James Bond and goes, hello, my name is Suck on My Tits. Dr. Suck on My Tits.
Do you get it, Sean? Do you get it, Sean? He's not a doctor.
Like, the film's ended. It's like, nobody does it. But, this song's a fucking...
Song of my tits! Great film. 10-10. No notes. That famous Bond villain, Dr. Suck on My Tits.
She's Czech, all right? Don't laugh at that. What's wrong with you, Tom?
I'll happily check.
Oh, we'll have to have funny surnames now. All right, Campbell.
Ding dong. So this was an annoyingly fun episode of SmackDown. So I'm worried now because I went, that was a really good episode of SmackDown, and apparently it's one of the lowest rated SmackDowns of all time. Oh, but I really enjoyed it.
That's why they put on the DVD set, because no one watched it the first time round.
So they wanted to make sure everybody saw it. I thought it was full of fun moments. I thought the matches were pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, it's really
a nice little period for SmackDown.
What's wrong with you?
It's obviously a period of rebuilding. So yeah. I'm like, oh, ratings are down. I'm like, well, yeah.
Because you're putting new people in there in new quarters and you're developing new characters. And it's a growing pain that comes. And this is the thing. This is where WWE, as it will become known, fell down for so long. Because they were so frightened of having a bad quarter that they wouldn't risk trying anything new or putting anybody new in the mix. So you have this thing where they constantly had to go back to the stars of yore, the stars of before, and keep bringing them in. I'm pretty confident if Palpatine was still here, this year's fucking Mania main event would be Roman Brock again.
Yeah.
You know, with The Rock as a referee or something, and a Cody, you know, ladder match maybe, if you're lucky. Like, it was that thing of you've got to sometimes... You've got to let these things breathe and let them live and see where they go. And here you've got people like Edge. You've got Angle doing great things in there. You've got Randy Orton, for better or for worse, Streak of Piss, whatever you want to call him, building up. Even Reverend Devon was entertaining this week. Like, there's loads of good stuff in there. I'm just sad that it got a bad rating because that would immediately make knee-jerk people who work for a publicly traded company shit their pants and go, oh, we better just make it boring again.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
So
it's like,
all right, so you want to start from scratch and rebuild and get people over, and also instant ratings. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's.
I want this hot and cold at the same time. Idiots.
But not lukewarm, you pricks. But Triple H, from
lukewarm, is making his debut next week.
From what I understand, like, Triple H's mindset has always been like, I want a slow build. A lot of creative. I want to tell longer stories. That's always been his thing. I mean, his fucking matches were long enough, and there's evidence if you needed it. He loved a good 45-minute match with two broken legs. And but I must work for 45 minutes. It's very Triple H. But that's his booking style as well in the modern day. Like, he likes those long story arcs, and I'm for him personally. I like a story that's got a lot of build to it, as opposed to just sort of hot-shotting things to make sure that the rating stays high.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's so, which is why it's interesting moving into this new era. I'll talk about the proper thing in a minute. But, like, we're going into this era where WWE is going to be on Netflix, it's going to be on a streaming platform, so you're not going to have that real rating. You're not going to...
The thing where you get DVD sent through.
It's going
post.
On to Love Film. So they'll get posted to
How's
you.
That going to work?
And then you'll be able to listen back to it on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown cassette.
Oh, goody.
Yes. But then because it makes the ratings a moot point then. So then that'll be interesting to see what they build and how they build it.
Yeah. It's great that they're going from like, oh yeah, you got the ratings, obviously they're sensible and we Nielsen counts and blah, 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 onto Netflix, who don't publicly disclose their viewing figures.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, they can just say anything now. They're the biggest carnies in the room.
We are a
Wrestling's
billion.
Wrestling's back, baby.
It's so back. But anyway, let's go back to 02. Something you remembered from this episode of SmackDown.
I remember thinking Jericho vs. Hogan was crap even as a kid. I was not into it. Because I went, fuck off, Jericho's not going to be able to wrestle Hogan.
And you were not quite right.
Well, I was right.
You
sorry,
were right.
Oh, I mean, yeah, sorry, technically speaking, yes, he was able to wrestle him. Just, you know, not win. Anyway, what was something you remembered?
I remember the tag match. I remember Edge and Valboski versus Angle and Storm. I remember at the time enjoying it as a fun match. Thought these are the four guys of the future. At least two of them will be. So that match is really good. If you watch one match from this, anything you forgot?
I forgot how good D-Von is.
Yeah?
Either lightning will strike you or I will. Oh.
Good line.
It could have been Summit. It could have been Pope.
It could have been Pope Ted. I forgot, there's two things. I forgot that Landstorm was the butterfly effect that started off one person with a bald head for the rest of their life.
You should embarrass him, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. I also forgot, obviously Randy Orton's match had all the usual Randy Orton fare in it. Like, his punches look very much like they do these days. He did the nice power slam. I forgot that Randy Orton used to do Zack Ryder's finisher as a transitional move.
He gave
us a Rough Rider halfway through that match off Brett's rope. I was like, ah, never knew it. Everyone, there's a section of people that remember Orton's first finisher, which was the overdrive.
That's right.
Which was, it's such a shit move. So many wrestlers had a go at it. It's such a shit move. But he did the Rough Rider. I was like, I forgot that happened. That's a good time ad by all. What do you want to plug? Anything you want to plug? New Matthew? New Twitch stream? Anything happening on Twitch this week?
No, my mum's here, so I'm not streaming.
Oh.
Except Thursday to Sunday, which is prime streaming hours. So.
Fuck you, mum.
Yeah, joking. Uh-huh. No, plug me mum coming up. She's nice. I will plug the Cultaholic YouTube channel.
Oh, that's very kind.
I've only just looked at myself and I'm sat really far down. I look tiny.
Sometimes you do sort of lean back.
I've not looked at the screen the entire time.
You lean back sometimes.
I'm relaxed. I'm talking. I'm concentrating on my posture. And you're like, wait, I look like shit. Right, break me back for the business.
If I lean back, does that help? There we go.
Yes, at the very end of the podcast.
Right at the very end.
Audio experience. Yes, like to plug the podcast feed so no one sees the video.
Exactly. Roads to WrestleMania. Part two, tomorrow. Myself, Fraser Porter, and Aidan Gibbons, our Cultaholic.com tribal editor-in-chief, are telling the full story of Cody Rhodes.
Is that his name?
That's what I call him.
Okay.
Is our editor-in-chief. So that's his official title. I've just added tribal at the beginning. Tribal editor-in-chief. We're telling the full story of Cody Rhodes. Last week, we talked about his first year in the WWE. Tomorrow's episode is the Wilderness Years. It's all about Ring of Honor, New Japan,
TNA, and Jack the Jobber comes in to talk about Cody in WCPW.
Yay!
So it's full of great stories of Cody sort of finding his voice on the road after WWE.
Have you mentioned when he was at VXP 16 Carat that one year? One of the years I went, and they did the karaoke thing, and they were like, told, come and do the karaoke. I went, no. He goes, you have to. You're not getting paid. He's like, oh, all right. So he showed up for like an hour, then fucked off.
Did he?
Allegedly.
No, we haven't told that story. Don't, but we okay, have
don't.
Now.
You shouldn't. It I does, don't know what you're talking about.
It contains stories. It does contain stories, as well as obviously like his time in ROH and all the wrestling stuff that happened with TNA and all this stuff. It contains stories of how he got around not being called Cody Rhodes. It contains that. It contains the story of Cody Rhodes going to Rise in Newcastle.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, of course, we recant him gatecrashing your StarCast.
Hey!
Did you know that was coming? Did you know Cody was popping in?
No, but I was sucking, so I'm glad he was like, all right, I'll... Matthew hasn't had sleep for 48 hours, sending Cody Rhodes. But there was nothing happening at that time anyway, because it was like day zero of the weekend, so I guess the rest was like, fuck it, might as well do something.
Just have a little dick about.
Look at the side, look at the crowd this drew. Yeah, I wouldn't be involved in this.
Brilliant.
Anyway, sorry, I'm talking.
No. I'm glad that you're talking. It's nice to get, you know, if it's nice to hear that part, because that's part of it. That's part of Cody's wilderness years. So we celebrate it. It's on the podcast feed, and you can watch the video version as a Patreon. patreon.com/cultaholic. And for the very latest wrestling news throughout the day, you can check out cultaholic.com. He's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter.
Hi.
I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we're at cultaholic on Twitter. And don't forget to join us. Have a lovely weekend. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
I will see you in the next episode of the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review.
Half power.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.